Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am, as always, your humble host, Michael Boldea. I hope I'm coming through 5x5 because we are not at home, kids. My daughters have, tomorrow and into next week off of school, and trying to get them to be quiet for an entire hour, that's just as challenging as trying to get Joe Biden to utter a complete sentence. It's nigh to impossible, as the kids like to say. They're girls and they're rowdy and they like to play and laugh and do all the things that children do. And as long as they continue to be children in the truest sense of the word, then me and their mother will feel as though we've gotten a passing grade with this whole parenting thing. I know that the older they get, the harder it's going to be. Apparently the older girls get, the less they listen to their old man. But until we cross that bridge, whether we do so while the bridge is on fire, I do not know. But when we cross that bridge, I hope we make it across. It is what it is. We live in a fallen world, and I've had these discussions with my wife on and off ever since Victoria was like 5 or 6 years old. You know, how much do you shelter them is the question. You can't protect them from everything, but how much do you shelter them? How long do you shelter them? And we came to the conclusion, and I think it's a wise decision, to let them be children for as long as they can be children, teach them right from wrong, teach them about Jesus, teach them about salvation, be an example whenever and wherever we can for them, and pray to God that he protect them and watch over them and, keep them from evil, because we live in an evil world. And every story that I keep reading, it's like a layer cake of misery. This is the world we live in. And if we thought that an election was going to make the world a better place all of a sudden, well, now we're realizing it really isn't. There's no such thing as politics making the world a better place. Less safe? Sure. More vindictive? Most assuredly. But like I've said and will continue to say, the best thing I can hope for is that I be left alone. That's it. That's as much as my expectation extends. Well, kiddos, today is December the 26th, the year of our Lord, 2024. Last night, we had Gino and family over. We had some Romanian cabbage rolls. My wife made mamaliga. I know Gino can't pronounce it, but he's going to try in about 50 minutes because, Gino doesn't quit. But it's basically like a soft version of cornbread. We had a good time. There was some hymn singing, some carol singing. I know those of you, that have already turned off the program because he said hymns and carols aren't listening to these words anyway, but you need to relax. You need to breathe just a little bit. Nobody was, cutting swastikas into the wall. Nobody was, sacrificing goats. We were praising the name of Jesus. The girls sang Silent Night. It was lovely. So I know every word has some sort of history. Every word has some sort of root. But if God can use evil to do good, then personally, I believe remembering the birth of Jesus on a given day, regardless of when that day is, I'm not getting into this conversation because it's pointless. Some have chosen this to be the hill they die on. They believe it to be a salvific issue. And you know what? Godspeed, go on your journey. I'm not going to try to change your mind because it's pointless. You've already committed your way to the idea that saying the word Christmas is akin to denouncing Jesus and bathing yourself in sheep's blood. So I'm not going to sit here and try to change your mind. We can agree to disagree. If you won't accept that, then you don't have to listen. I don't charge you membership. I'm not trying to sell you peanuts. I'm not selling you thermal underwear. There is nothing that I'm selling you. And so if you feel as though me singing hymns and carols last night with some friends disqualifies me from entering the kingdom of heaven, then Godspeed to you. I know, we started off so merrily. I mean, I'm just feeling festive all over, but every time I turn on my computer, man, every time I go to any sort of site, this is the great deception. Really, Christmas is the great deception? Christmas is the great deception. That's the mark of the beast now. The devil doesn't even have to try to silence people anymore. Christians are policing each other. It's fabulous, isn't it? Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Anyway, here we are. I know, I'm in the office. It's a little hotter than I like it, which perhaps is lending or exacerbating my mood. It has nothing to do with the fact that there was no cake last night or pie. You know, although one would assume, but hey, that's okay. I did make a lovely baked brie, if I do say so myself. It was delicious. Well, did you make baked brie because it was Christmas? No, I make baked brie because people came over. And it's nice to serve people food. Can we stop looking for the devil in every outhouse? Please? Do that for me at least until the new year. Who knows? After the new year, we may not be here anyway. Because things are a-happening all over the world. There's this thing that I've noticed kind of consistently, that power cables in Northern Europe, the deep sea power cables, the ones that are in charge of, you know, the interwebs going from here to there and whatnot, more and more are being cut. There's another one that was just sliced, and it is said that terrorism cannot be ruled out now that another underwater power cable was cut in Northern Europe. Of course, the Russia Dark Fleet is suspected. Like Russia was suspected to have blowed up the pipeline. Huh? I know. We never do anything wrong as a nation. Everything we do is sacrosanct. We don't go about blowing up pipelines or cutting cables, you know, because we're above that. Look, you need to understand that more and more of these people that went all in on the notion of globalism are starting to panic because the big orange man getting elected or reelected in America is having a negative effect and a ripple effect throughout the world. There's nationalists and populists and people who believe their own nation should come first, winning elections that they were the dark horses in. They're winning elections that if you believe the polling, they shouldn't have even run in the first place. Sort of reminiscent of 2016 when what? Hillary Rodham Clinton was ahead. She had a 97% chance of winning. Remember that? What was it? Either the New York Times or one of these celebrated newspapers of note put out that little ditty that she was 97% to win. A lot of these countries are going through the same thing. I mean, Romania currently is in utter chaos because a quote-unquote, and yes, I just did the air quotes with one hand because I'm holding a cup of coffee in the other. By the way, this is a beverage I purchased, and I am loath to admit it, from a local coffee shop because I've gotten used to brewing my own coffee at home and recording from home, and now that I'm here, all they had was, I don't know, tapioca armpit sweat flavored coffee or something. Some ridiculous thing. So I actually went and bought a black coffee from a reputable coffee shop. And if you allow me to sip from my delicious beverage, we're going to continue with this conversation because I do believe it is illuminating. I know you heard that one. It was just the coffee because it's one of those cups with the plastic lids and it has like a little tiny hole. And I take big gulps. I don't have to explain why I enjoy, you know, very hot beverages in large quantities, but here we are. So in Romania right now, the entire political system is in upheaval because a Trumpian figure won the election, and they got so freaked out about it that the Romanian Supreme Court came in, nullified the election, and apparently the outgoing president has determined to pick someone who's going to replace him just, you know, because he felt like it. And, you know, Romania is Romania. You expect such things in banana republics. But you don't expect such things to happen in places like America or other civilized countries. But those people in power, those people currently unwilling to release, for lack of a better term, their grasp on the power that they possess, they're trying to find any excuse, any subterfuge. They're making alliances with people that they deemed beneath them as little as a month ago just to stay in power. So it's happening all over the world, and I think it's emboldened the average individual to hope for more than their elected officials ruling over them and demanding that they hide themselves in their basements, mutilate their children, and wear a face diaper until they expire. So I think that a lot of people are taking hope from what happened in America, for better or worse. I know that, well, there you go. That's, I gave you a shot. Okay, with the big orange man. I gave you a shot, but now that you couple it with Christmas, that's it. You know, fool me once, shame on you, and then you do the George Bush. Anyway, I can't. My life's too short, and I don't feel the need to try to explain what a salvific issue is to people who've already predetermined that saying, hey, Jesus was born on a day. Was he? Yes. He was born of a virgin. Hallelujah. We've decided as a community, as a family, as a church, whatever, however you want to slice it, to celebrate the birth of said Jesus on a given day and have people over and have some refreshments of the non-alcoholic variety. You know, have a little food, have a little merriment. I know we're not supposed to have merriment because that's anathema too. We're supposed to walk around with frowns on our faces. But I can't. I got kids. They make me smile. And as long as my kids make me smile, I cannot give in to darkness and desperation and, oh, when is the end coming? You know what? Whenever God decides, but it's not as though I'm excited about the prospect because I know what it means. I get it. Some people are very excited about the prospect of the end because they don't believe they're going to be here for it. Well, between people's preconceived notion that they will not see any trials or tribulations during the last days and them saying Merry Christmas, I think those we should be concerned about just a smidge more are those who do not believe that they will have to endure anything, that they will see any sort of hardship, tribulation, or events of the last days. Some of them are getting a little desperate. Some of them are beginning to judge Jesus, saying that he didn't set his alarm properly. His Apple Watch must be on the fritz because he should have been here by now. And donde está, señor? As they would say in California. Some people are actually taking God to task for not rapturing them when they thought he would rapture them. And with each passing day, those people are getting more and more despondent. See, that is an issue we need to discuss. Because their faith isn't in Christ or the protection of Christ or the providence or sovereignty of God. It's in the idea that he will snatch them up before they have to endure. And unfortunately for them, it's a theory that has no basis in what Jesus said or the Word of God. I know, see, how are we getting to this? It was supposed to be a Merry Christmas. Well, I got enough emails from you talking about, well, Christmas. Shut up. I can't with the nonsense anymore. There are real issues the church is avoiding. There are real issues the church isn't talking about. There are real issues, salvific ones, that most pastors don't mention, but this is your hill. I can't. If you don't want to celebrate it, say it, but then don't. But don't send people to the depths of hell if they choose to. Stop. Because the manner in which you judge others will be the manner in which you will be judged. And for some of you that are writing checks that your spiritual man can't cash, for some of you, that's a heavy thing indeed. The notion and the idea that you will be judged in the manner by which you judge others. Because there are a lot of people, especially on the interwebs, whatever you want to call it, prophetic Facebook or whatever nonsense. There's a lot of people that show zero grace, zero love, zero anything. That said, if you don't agree with me about everything on every issue all the time, you're Ichabod. Can we please? Can we just work out our own salvations with fear and trembling? And not worry if the little old lady in Saskatchewan said Merry Christmas online and all of us gang up on her? And ask her if she, do you like the heat? Because hell's going to be hot. You said Merry Christmas. Can we please just be decent? I'm not even holding anybody to the standard of being wise as a serpent, because I think that ship has sailed with the advent of Facebook. But can we just be decent? Can we not make people's lives bitter and turn their hearts to stone and turn people off to the idea of Jesus? Because our words are so harsh and we show no grace? And rather than preach a risen Christ, we beat people over the head. He wasn't born in December. I have my calendar at home. He wasn't born in December. Well, no duh. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he was born of a virgin. That he grew up as the Christ. That he willingly surrendered his life that you might have life. We make entire doctrines out of tertiary issues that hold no bearing other than our own perceived intelligence and self-righteousness. I got one over on you. Jesus wasn't born in December. Well, hoop-dee-da. See, between looking for aliens, fighting over saying the word Christmas, thinking that our denomination is the only denomination that's going to see the hallowed halls of heaven, and a couple of other things, the devil doesn't even need to go to war with us. We'll destroy ourselves long before the devil gets a crack at us. We're at each other's throats over a word or over someone who decides to say Merry Christmas. And we make these connections, these conjectures. We conflate these idiotic things because we found a picture on the internet with a lady dressed in black, and look, Satanists celebrate Christmas too. No, they don't. What you're celebrating isn't a tree or gifts or presents or whatever. What you're celebrating is the birth of the Son of God. I promise you, that's not what Satanists are celebrating. Can we please? It's gotten so frustrating to the point that it brings bitterness to my tongue. Everything has to be conjecture. Well, you know, in 37 A.D., Andridipides, you don't know who Andridipides was? Nobody does. But apparently Andridipides chiseled December 25th on a rock, and that was the start of whatever it was, and now we've appropriated it. Come on. Can we just serve Jesus? Can we just love Jesus? I don't begrudge anyone saying Merry Christmas. Stop. You are not standing up for the truth, and you are not fighting for righteousness by calling little old ladies all kinds of names and sending them to hell because they said Merry Christmas on Facebook. I'm contending for the faith, brother. If that's what you think it is, then you're fooling yourself. Oh, mercy. See, maybe it's the coffee. Maybe it's the fact that I bought it at a coffee shop. They slipped something into it, and it's making me less than jovial. My problem is that we're ignoring real issues in the church, and we're clinging to these tertiary ones that in the great scheme of things, Jesus won't turn you away because you said Merry Christmas that one time. The same way that Jesus won't turn you away if you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Because I've heard that one too. Well, you're going to get left behind because you don't believe in it. Is that the metric now? Is that it? Is that the metric? I have to believe in Jesus plus the pre-trib rapture in order to be caught up? Show that to me, biblically speaking, please. But we're in our own echo chambers to the point that all we hear are our own words regurgitated back to us. Nobody pushes back on any of our nonsense. Nobody says, hey, the Bible doesn't say that. And we think ourselves right because there's no pushback. I told that lady from Saskatchewan, I told her, don't you dare say the word Christmas around me. If that's what it takes, if that's all it takes to shake your faith, then you got a problem, senor. If you hearing or reading the words Merry Christmas are enough to unhinge you and untether you from reality, then you got the serious problems. I'm so sorry to tell you, you got the serious problems, okay? All right, other things to talk about. Allow me to sip from my delicious beverage in you. Because it's not as hot as I like it, and it's already cooling down. Oh, mercy. Well, Merry Christmas. Apparently, this is hilarious. Panamanians are protesting. And now the big orange man is public enemy number one because he threatened to take the canal back. In his defense, year over year, prices for going through that canal have been rising exponentially because the Panamanians decided, hey, it's a good way to make extra money. I think he said it in jest more than anything else, sort of like the thing with Greenland or, what was it, Senator Trudeau from the great state of Canada. But people, again, people don't have senses of humor anymore. What are those? You said Christmas, you're going to hell. What's a sense of humor? I haven't laughed since 1982. And then we become these like bitter curmudgeons that read too much into everything. Spend our waking hours looking for people of like mind, and you know what? Birds of a feather flock together. If you're looking for somebody that's a curmudgeon because you yourself are a curmudgeon, you're going to find another curmudgeon. And both of you are going to start beating up on a little old lady from Saskatchewan. Because she said the word Christmas. And it's going to make you feel really special and self-righteous because, ooh, we told her. We told her. She didn't know about Eridipides. Anyway, protesters in Panama on Tuesday burnt an image of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump following his threat to demand control of the country's interoceanic canal be returned to Washington. Dozens of demonstrators gathered outside the U.S. Embassy chanting, "Trump, animal, leave the canal alone!" Uh-huh. And "Get out, invading gringo!" Didn't the U.S. gift the canal to Panama for like a dollar? Oh, the beauty of it. That's the thing, though. People are duplicitous in nature, and they'll say whatever they need to say to make themselves feel as though they're right. Invading gringo. The guy's... Stop. I can't. The whole world's nuts. All right? This is my professional opinion. The whole world is nuts. And for us to actually realize what matters in life and for us to realize how much time we wasted on worthless issues, we need to see a mushroom cloud or five. Because I'll bet you, although I'm not a betting man, I'll bet you first mushroom cloud that you see in New York or Florida or L.A., that whole discussion about can we say the word Christmas without going to hell is going to die a swift death. All these things that we busy ourselves with that do nothing to grow our spiritual man, all of them will die a quick death at the first sign of a mushroom cloud on the horizon. Understand the things that matter in this life. Understand the things that you need to be doing while you still have the time to do it. And word-shaming little old ladies in Saskatchewan isn't one of the things prescribed in the Bible. Sorry, not sorry. I got like a 6-page email. It was almost a book. It was a tome. "Brother Mike, I need to ask you something with all sincerity because my heart is broken and my spirit is wounded. I just said Merry Christmas, and I had so many people attacking me and telling me that I'm going to hell." Like, what is wrong with you? Have you nothing better to do? Go buy somebody a pizza. Go buy them a burger. Go give them a Bible. Don't sit in judgment and declare that someone's going to hell because, well, I disagree with the word she said. Eridipides. And no, Eurydipides isn't a real person. I'm not even going to engage with this nonsense. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good things when you ask it? If the desire of your heart is to celebrate the Son of God, if the desire of your heart is to sing a hymn or a carol about the birth of the Savior of mankind, whether you do it on Christmas, the day before or after, or even call it Christmas, is irrelevant because the desire of your heart is pure, to worship Him. No, I disagree, Eurydipides. We're gonna wake up one day with no power, with no spiritual insight, with no spiritual gifts, unmoored and bobbing on the sea of life, with mushroom clouds in the horizon and nowhere to go. And perhaps only then will we have the epiphany of how much time we wasted. With nonsense. Just utter nonsense. Serve Jesus. You serve Him every day, whether yesterday was a special day for you or not, is irrelevant. If it wasn't, God bless you. If it was, God bless you again. But for anyone to sit in judgment of another, whether the day was special for them or wasn't special for them, and conclude that they are destined for an eternity in the outer darkness apart from God because it was or wasn't a special day for them, I can't imagine the hubris. Well, we shall rule with a rod of iron. I'm just practicing, brother. Stop yourself. Oh, mercy. But this is where we are. This is where we are. And again, maybe it's because I had to leave the house and I'm not listening to my daughters playing their instruments. I don't know why. But I had to answer this lady. What was it? 3:30 in the morning. Because she was semi-distraught, wanting to know, am I going to hell because I said Merry Christmas? And sometimes it just gets to you. Sometimes the frustration builds up because we're a bunch of children. Just spiritually immature to the point of, do you even know Jesus? And the worst of it is that we beat our chest saying, we are the spiritual superiors of anyone who came before us. We know Jesus better, deeper, on a more fundamental level than any other generation. Yes, we do. Eurydipides. And you're sitting there going, dude, there's people that came before you that suffered for the cause of Christ, that saw angels and miracles, and God worked miracles through them. What do you mean? Well, they didn't understand the hidden dark history of Eurydipides and December 25th. And so, you know, I don't know if they were really saved to begin with. Okay, thank you. So basically it's going to be, what, you and your Aunt Judy alone in heaven because everybody else wasn't worthy as far as your interpretation goes. Got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, I saw this and it was cute. Okay, it was cute, And so I had to mention it because think what you will of the next 4 years. I saw a video of the future vice president of these United States, J.D. Vance, making biscuits with his three-year-old daughter. And it was like the cutest thing ever. And the only thing I need you to imagine is had the other side won, now you'd be seeing what? Pete Buttigieg trying to breastfeed a child with a plastic bosom. Contrast that if you don't think that there's a net positive to this, what just happened. It's either Pete Buttigieg insisting that men can be just as lactational as women with the aid of a plastic bosom, or J.D. Vance baking biscuits with his three-year-old. And I watched that little girl, and she reminded me of my little girl because she's just as sassy. And it was hilarious. I know. Well, you shouldn't get any sort of enjoyment out of life because the only thing that you need to be... Stop. God didn't create you to be a robot. God didn't allow you to have a family so that you wouldn't enjoy your family, so that your children wouldn't make you smile. And I've seen this more often than I wish I had, where people prioritize either ministry or the work of the ministry above everything else, including their relationship with their children and their wives and their family. And at the peak and pinnacle of their success when they think they've made it, the floor drops out from under them and their wife files for divorce and their kids become atheists and their kids write tell-all books and all these other things. If God gave you family, he's not expecting you to forfeit family for the work of ministry. He expects you to be wise enough to balance the till so that when your race is run, so that when you see that finish line, your wife and your kids and your grandkids will be standing there cheering you on, not trying to throw tomatoes at your head. But hey, Eridipides, you said the word Christmas, and so Dante's hell for you. I ran across this, and I know some of you feel some kind of way about messianic teacher Michael Brown, but apparently he's in a bit of hot water. Oh, yes. Gino didn't know. See, I scooped Gino. Because usually Gino's finger is like on the pulse of Americana to the point that he knows the future before it occurs. This took him by surprise. Allow me to sip, and sadly we're going to get to it because apparently Michael Brown did admit to an emotional relationship after the woman in question died, but her widower says it was a bit more than that. And again, before you start beating people over the head for saying the word Christmas, maybe, perhaps, just an idea. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling so that you don't have to end up on some website talking about, it was just emotional. I mean, we just heavy petting through clothes, that was all. Why did it have to be emotional or otherwise? Because you didn't guard your heart. Because in your own estimation of your holiness and your self-righteousness, you assumed yourself to be above the fray. And the devil came in, and you went, oops. And that's how it happens. I'm not focusing on what my neighbor's doing with his lawn. If I see something glaringly wrong, I'll call it out. But my first priority is my own house, my own lawn, my own life. Because I know it sounds callous, the devil's not going to be able to get to me through my neighbor or by attacking my neighbor. My neighbor has to be watchful just as I am watchful. Direct attacks work when we're distracted. Remedy? Don't be distracted. I know, easy, but eridipides. When faced with accusations from the widower of a second alleged victim of his sexual misconduct, messianic teacher and apologist Michael Brown, yesterday afternoon, and this is a fresh article, it's from December 18th, 2024, posted a video online admitting to an emotional relationship with a woman. While I have never committed adultery in all our years of marriage, in late 2001 and beginning of 2002, I developed an emotional, not physical, tie with another individual. Were you playing Yahtzee together? Did you enjoy scribbage? Or Scrabble? Please define the emotional relationship, please. Brown said in the video, he added that he would have done this days ago, but, you know, I mean, why not years ago, sir? See, that's... Okay, saying sorry after you get caught isn't repentance. We all know this, right? It's either trying to save face or save your brand, but saying sorry after you get caught is not repentance. This happened in 2001 and 2002. And his explanation was, hey, I would have posted a video days ago, but I've been out of the country with my grandson. Well, sir, by my count, and again, I'm no mathematician, but you had some 22, 23 odd years to quote-unquote do this. So a couple of days don't matter to me. The fact that you had to feel the need to come on and defend yourself 22 years in and somehow explain it by saying, well, I would have done this a couple of days ago, but I'm a busy man. That makes it worse to me, I think. Just 2 hours before Brown posted the video, this website reached out to him to request comment on allegations he had sexual conversations with a woman about 20 years ago. So it wasn't scribbage. I see. Well, well, well. With whom he was obsessed, quote unquote. Well, that's not a good place to be, sir. I'm sure that you've done a study on eridipides. See, and I don't want to do this, but I have to. He had sexual conversations with a woman about 20 years ago with whom he was obsessed. After posting the video online, Brown responded that he'd have a statement by the evening after he conferred with his board. Brownie point to anyone that sees a problem with that sentence. Okay, if there was any sincerity in your repentance, you wouldn't have to confer with the board before you came out with a statement regarding the fact that you were caught doing something you weren't supposed to be doing 22 years ago, that you hadn't repented for, that you thought was swept under the rug, that you were keeping your fingers crossed, going, oh, I hope nobody finds out. About an hour later, We emailed him about the video. Brown replied that the video would be his only statement as per his board's instructions. Indeed. The allegations came from the husband of a woman referred to in a previous article on allegations against Brown. In the article, Aaron, Brown's alleged first victim, tells of finding a note in Brown's handwriting that described sexual conversations Brown was having with another woman. Well, well, well. Not Scrabble either. The second alleged victim died in 2021, and her husband, Ray, requested that we not use his or her name to protect his late wife's identity. This website has a policy of not naming alleged victims of adult clergy sexual abuse. But we confirmed the woman's identity with former Brownsville School of Ministry student Amber Rodes and Niels Pripp, a former Fire School of Ministry administrator and longtime friend of Ray and his wife. Eridipides indeed. Ray claimed Brown pursued an inappropriate relationship with his wife about 20 years ago, in 2001 to 2002, when she was 41 and Brown was 46. Frisky old people. I can't say frisky old people, though, because I'm turning 50 next year.
Why don't you have these kind of problems? Why don't you have to confer with your board as to the statement that you have to make?
Because I love my wife, and I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, and I flee the appearance of evil. And sorry, not sorry, saying Merry Christmas, not evil, or the appearance of evil. Dun, dun, dun. Eridipides. I'm going to have you saying that word, aren't I? You're going to be walking around your house 2-3 days from now going, Eridipides. Anyway, Ray said that he and his wife considered Brown a prominent leader for the Brownsville Revival in the 1990s and founder of Fire School of Ministry to be their spiritual leader. Indeed. It is my view that he became infatuated and obsessed with her, learned over time some of her vulnerabilities, exploited that, and manipulated her into a place that she did not desire or intend. Ray said, in short, a victim to a man who postured and prided himself to be one of our spiritual leaders. I'm not even going to touch that one because the only thing I can say on that, woman's dead, she can't defend herself, but there is a saying that it takes two to tango. And so whether he manipulated her into this place or exploited her vulnerabilities, she could have gone to his pastor, she could have gone to the elders. And I'm not trying to, again, well, look at you, big, bald man, victim shaming. No. But it does take two to tango. She should have made it public in 2001. Hey, this guy's kind of pervy. He's sending me inappropriate messages. So this is what happens when people don't tend to their own gardens, when they're not focused on their relationship with Christ and think that they got some sort of hall pass because they're a minister. Ray had previously declined to comment about what transpired between his wife and Brown. However, Ray objected to Brown's characterization of Brown's relationship with his wife, which he reported in our previous article. Brown reportedly told former Fire staff Chris Bennett that Ray's wife had said something inappropriate to Brown, which Brown documented in the note Aaron found. Ray said he interpreted this as blaming Ray's wife for what happened, but Ray says Brown deserves the blame. And he does, because as a spiritual authority, as a spiritual elder, you're supposed to be mature enough to cut it off, not start it. So there's no accountability or spiritual maturity in Brown's actions by any stretch. Don't get me wrong. I don't want him to throw my wife under the bus, Ray said. She does not deserve that at all. You can't just leave it there without some context, especially if Mike controls the narrative, he's going to end up being a victim. He is not. If you are in spiritual authority over someone and you use that influence to achieve nefarious ends, you're not the victim. You're the predator. And you're using the covering of the church or your spiritual authority to commit criminal acts, basically. According to Boz Chividijan, an attorney specializing in sexual abuse cases, sexual contact between a religious leader and a person under their leader's care is considered adult clergy sexual abuse due to the power differential. Indeed, we just discussed that. According to Jason Martin, a secondary ACSA survivor and social science researcher, Ray would also be considered a secondary victim of adult clergy sexual abuse. For both victim and spouse, the betrayer is the pastor who abused his position. Agreed. And if that pastor is unrepentant, true healing is difficult. Well, I'm sure he's conferring with his board to see if he should repent. The impact is an injury that keeps on injuring, Martin said. A couple can do all the healing work in the world, and it will not mend, restore, or reconcile them to their former community. This results in survivors and survivor spouses living in a state of suspended exile, where the only comfort and understanding they can find is through peer support. Yesterday afternoon, Brown claimed in the video that he was repentant in 2002 for his emotional relationship with another woman. However, Ray said that's not true. He said Brown reluctantly admitted to the details when confronted with them, but it was like pulling teeth. Yesterday afternoon, Brown also addressed what happened with his first alleged victim, Aaron. Please forgive me my actions, which caused you so much pain, he said in the video. Had I more clearly understood the result of those actions in 2002, I would have responded very differently. Sir, you were in your 40s. Let's not pretend as though you were a teenage boy, innocently fumbling about. You were an adult. You were in your 40s. Previously, Brown said his relationship with Aaron was non-sexual, lacked judgment, and resulted from him treating her like family. Huh? I don't know how you treat your family, but I don't think that word means what he thinks it means. However, Aaron told TRR, Brown had a pattern of kissing her on the lips and slapping her posterior. Let's call it a posterior. I'm sorry, I've never kissed my mother-in-law on the lips, nor slapped her posterior. So again, I don't think that word means what he thinks it means. Yesterday, Aaron came out publicly on social media as Sarah Aaron Monk, her maiden name. She accused Brown of lying when he said earlier that he and his wife met with Monk years ago to follow the method of reconciliation outlined in Matthew 18, and to apologize to her. Well, it never happened, Monk wrote in her statement yesterday. The idea that he apologized to me in this meeting is a complete fabrication. Well, well, and loogie loogie. Well, it never happened. Monk said the only meeting she had with Brown and his wife was when she confronted him about finding the letter about Ray's wife, whom Monk said she now believes was a victim. He has lied, and I lied for him for 2 decades, protecting him and his ministry, she wrote. Look, the wife, his wife, isn't innocent in this either. And again, it's about protecting the brand. It's about protecting the name. It's about protecting the inflow. And when those things are prioritized above repentance, about setting it right, above, hey, I'm going to step away from ministry for a few years and get my heart right with God, then there was never really true repentance. I'm sorry. I mean, do we need to rehash the whole, what's his name? Not Jim Baker, the other one. Jimmy Swaggart. I have sinned. Oops, I did it again. That wasn't repentance. Stop yourself. I can't. Yes, yes, there are standards and guardrails. There are things that you need to do in order to be counted among leadership in churches, and it's biblically established. But when you're just trying to protect a brand, when you're sweeping sin under the rug in order to keep the money train churning, I'm sorry. Any respect I might have had is long gone. But never fear, you can still beat up little old ladies in Saskatchewan for saying the word Christmas, Eridipides indeed. So let's just go to the mirror of the word and search our hearts and live out our faith, live out our convictions, and perhaps, maybe, just maybe, spend a little more time judging ourselves than judging others. And I'm not saying to judge yourself in a wrong way, but look in the mirror of the word and go, hey, I can improve here. Perhaps I shouldn't get as angry as I do when people cut me off in traffic. There's always room for improvement because we are in the process of being perfected. So with that, I leave you until next year. Could you believe it? 2025. It will be 2025 when next we speak. But until then, Gino's got 2 minutes to talk to you about Eridipides and Mamaliga. Gene, it's all yours.
Well, I love Marmaliga, and we had a great time yesterday. So praise the Lord. I do have a Romanian daughter-in-law, so I am very partial, and I've been there many times, kind of like my second home. But Matthew 5:28, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. And that's the seriousness of guarding your heart, for out of it come what? The issues of life. Temptation comes, but God says he gives us a way out of every temptation. And it's really, you know, a wake-up call for everyone to watch their heart. Keep God's love in your heart. You know, keep some fear of God in your heart, you know, to respect the Lord. And then be mindful of the enemy's devices, because we do have power over the enemy through the power of God. And then in Numbers, there's a scripture, know that your sin will find you out. And so, you know, we have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And I agree with Mike. Many people look at other people's life more than their own. And, you know, God is so clear in the word, judge your own heart. Judge yourself. Paul said it. I judge myself. I put myself under subjection. So have a great new year. Yes, I will say, I hope you had a great Christmas. And I pray that God's light will be in your heart and strengthen you this day. Thank you for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.